Well, there are many different expressions that we hear throughout the day, whether it is on the radio, on TV, or with fellow associates, with friends, with family, anybody. Have you ever thought about where some of these expressions that we hear may have come from? Or if people even think twice about what it may mean, or what it was derived from? Since many of these sayings have been embedded in our language, it's almost natural to just say it. And we may be guilty of the same thing. And of course, if you try to translate this in other languages, it doesn't even make any sense. But we'll just focus on the English language. For example, bite the bullet. Something that translates to accepting something difficult or unpleasant. And do you know where the history of that phrase comes from? Well, there was no time to administer anesthesia before emergency surgery during battle. The surgeon made patients bite down on a bullet in an attempt to distract them from the pain. So that's where bite the bullet comes from. Another one, break the ice, which is to commence a project or initiate a friendship. History of this saying says, before the days of trains or cars, port cities that thrived on trade suffered during the winter because frozen rivers prevented commercial ships from entering the city. So small ships, known as icebreakers, would rescue the icebound ships by breaking the ice and creating a path for them to follow. So before any type of business arrangement today, it is now customary to break the ice before beginning a project. What about cat got your tongue? It's something said when a person is at a loss for words. Now, the history of this says there are two possible sources for this common saying. The first refers to the cat o' nine tails, which is a whip used by the English Navy for flogging. The whip caused so much pain that the victims were left speechless. The second refers to the practice of cutting out the tongues of liars and blasphemers and feeding them to cats. So, if you ever say, cat got your tongue, then you'll know where that comes from. Yeah, a little gruesome, but... caught red-handed. This is to be caught doing something wrong. History says that this saying originated because of a law. If someone butchered an animal that didn't belong to him, he had to be caught with the animal's blood on his hands to be convicted. Being caught with freshly cut meat did not make the person guilty. How about don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Referring to hanging on to valuable things when getting rid of unnecessary things. So history says that during the 1500s, most people bathed once a year. Even when they did bathe, the entire family used the same tub full of water. The man of the house bathed first, followed by other males, then females, and then finally the babies. You can imagine how thick and cloudy the water became by that time. So the infant's mother had to take care not to throw them out with the bathwater when they emptied the tub. Giving the cold shoulder is a rude way of telling someone he isn't welcome. History tells us that although giving someone the cold shoulder today is considered rude, it was actually regarded as a polite gesture in medieval England. After a feast, the host would let his guests know it was time to leave by giving them a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of beef, sheep, or pork. Go the whole nine yards, referring to trying one's best. History tells that World War II fighter pilots received a nine-yard chain of ammunition. Therefore, when a pilot used all of his ammunition on one target, he gave it the whole nine yards. I always thought it was referred to a football analogy, but that didn't make a lot of sense. Rub the wrong way, to irritate, bother, or annoy someone. In history, in colonial America, servants were required to wet rub and dry rub the oak board floors each week. Doing it against the grain caused streaks to form, making the wood look awful and irritating the homeowner. Rule of thumb, this is a common universal benchmark. History tells that legend has it that 17th century English judge Sir Francis Bueller ruled it was permissible for a husband to beat his wife with a stick, given that the stick was no wider than his thumb. Show your true colors to reveal one's true nature. Warships used to fly multiple flags to confuse their enemies. However, the rules of warfare stated that a ship had to hoist its true flag before firing and hence display its country's true colors. And I just have a couple more. Spill the beans. These are these common phrases that we always heard or hear. Spilling the beans to reveal a secret. This derived from ancient Greece, where beans were used to vote for candidates entering various organizations. One container for each candidate was set out before the group members, who would place a white bean in the container if they approved of the candidate and black bean if they did not. Sometimes a clumsy voter would accidentally knock over the jar, revealing all the beans and allowing everyone to see the otherwise confidential votes. And then I have one more, waking up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm sure we have all used that phrase, which refers to waking up in a bad mood. And history tells us that the left side of the body, or anything having to do with the left, was often associated, considered sinister. To ward off evil, innkeepers made sure the left side of the bed was pushed against a wall. So guests had no other option but to get up on the right side. Now, why do I bring this up? There is, in fact, another saying that many people blurt out, commonly used as an expression of relief. Religious or not, everybody says it. And society has termed it as something that rarely means what the actual words resemble. And the one phrase that I want to focus on is the expression, thank God. And that is the title of my message. We hear this all the time. Oh, thank God. We say it as well. But hopefully, we say it in the right context. There are many sayings out there that we don't mean literally, just like, I could eat a horse. It means you are quite hungry, not that you're actually going to be eating a horse. However, when it comes to saying thank God, we must be aware as to why we are saying it. And do we really mean it? Are we truly thankful in whatever situation we are in when we say, thank God? Not in this way, you win the jackpot, only then to blow it all the next day. Well, did you really thank God? Well, oftentimes, people say it for convenience. But what about us? I'm sure many of us have been in a particular situation that we have been in where we really needed to and have really, truly thanked God. Our continuous pleads to God do not go unheard, as we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every time we pray, we are always thanking God. We hear that really in every prayer. We focus on that. No matter what situation, whatever we go through, we are always thanking Him, good or bad, right? I mean, thank God we have protection and we have been called out of this world. Thank God we have the opportunity to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day and what this pictures for us. This is God's perfect plan. And He is in control. Thank God we could put everything into His hands. For example, when you have done everything you humanly possibly can do, right? And then you put it into God's hands, who will then take care of the rest. Especially when we don't even know what our immediate future brings. But we know the rest is up to Him, and the rest is up to His will. We have to give thanks to God always for everything, as we read about in Ephesians 5, chapter 20, which I won't go there, because that's what it says. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you often refer to, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But if we read before that, in verse 16, it says to rejoice always. It doesn't say when to rejoice, like at a specific time. Always, no matter what the situation is. I know it's difficult to do, but there's a reason for it. We rejoice always, as we see in the next verse, praying without ceasing. Just as we rejoice always, we pray always. It never stops. And since we know the truth and the knowledge of God's plan, we show God thanks in various ways, especially during the feast. And we have much to be thankful for. It is a blessing that we can observe the Sabbath and the holy days, that we can get together and meet like this, no matter what circumstances are upon us. And yes, even though not everybody is here, but still having the opportunity to observe the feast is what is important. And this all pictures God's plan. God made everything, and he requires just a little bit in return. We'll experience that later in the second service. But if we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, further elaborates on this. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to share is definitely something we've been experiencing anyway throughout the feast. But it's not just during the feast. This is something we have to always do. And it's an effort. And everything we do in our life takes an effort. What we have been taught takes an effort. To live by God's way takes an effort. It takes effort to do good and to have a good attitude, to have the faith, for these are sacrifices that we go through all the time. And we must continually prove to God and to ourselves that we are indeed thankful for all that he has provided and done for us, and the many prayers that he has answered for us. And if he hasn't done it yet, he will. Because we know what he promises us in return.